A few months ago, my fiance, soon-to-be wife, brought me a gift. But it wasn't necessarily a gift just for me. It was one that we're going to share together in the future. But it was a gift to her. And it was a gift from one of her favorite aunts, Aunt Sandy. And I don't know why she's maybe a favorite aunt, because maybe she has a cool lake house. Maybe that's a great place to go when you're little. Or maybe she just had a lot of cool stuff. And maybe that was why young kids loved to go over to Aunt Sandy's house. Well, Aunt Sandy had some really cool things. And we found these things out because after she had passed away, she had them still in her basement. And the family got a chance to go through them a little bit. Well, today I have in front of here a box. It was a possession of Aunt Sandy that now has been given to Megan and I. Thank you. But it was unopened as a gift that we were given. It was surprising because it's been in her basement for so long. And people were wondering what was really in here and why it wasn't opened or used. So to my delight, when I first opened it, I was very surprised. And actually, on opening it, I discovered, as well as my fiance, that Aunt Sandy is very cool indeed. Not just any sort of silverware, but 24-karat knives, spoons, and forks. The perfect dinnerware that you would use on the fanciest of fancy dinner occasions. Perhaps maybe that's why she didn't use them, because they are so valuable. It was an unopened gift, and it seems strange to us when we have something that's used that isn't being used. Well, I can assure you that our plan is, Megan, we're going to at least try to use them sometimes here, hopefully maybe more than once. Maybe not just on the fancy occasions, but maybe on some regular days, because we can be. For you today, think of maybe those other unopened gifts. Maybe you have in your basement today a Christmas present that you maybe forgot to open. Maybe in your basement you have a valuable, maybe an antique that's just collecting dust that nobody even knows about. Could be worth a whole lot. You never know unless you open it. That is what is hand for today. If you want to walk on water, if you want to see the gold-plated gifts that God has for you, we've got to get out of the boat. You see, today we heard in Scripture once more, this is going to be a continued theme the next few weeks. Jesus is walking on water, and as a miracle as much as that is, but he calls his disciples, and namely Peter, to do the same thing. Regular fisherman as he is, he steps out of the boat, and guess what? He walks on water until he starts to doubt the seemingly impossible that he's doing. But you know what? He first took that step out in faith. We don't really know in Scripture, but we can't say the same about the other 12 or 11 disciples. They're still in the boat. They didn't get out. And that's a tragedy. That is what we call the tragedy of the unopened gift. You never really know what you got until you've stepped out into what God has planned for your life. Now, it's not just Peter, it's not just silverware, it's also what's inside of you. God has used your lives, and he has made you, fashioned you, even long before you even knew you were going to be born, or your parents knew that you were going to be born. He has fashioned you with particular talents or abilities, personalities, the idiosyncrasies, the weird things about you that are just so wonderful. But nobody gets to know them if you're closed, and you have an unopened gift. And that's what we talk about today as a tragedy of the unopened gift today. The tragedy is we don't know about the other 11 disciples. We do know about Peter. For you today, we're going to know about somebody close to home for us. Today, I'm going to welcome forth today in our sermon, Bonnie and David Sarandos. They are regular people just as you and I. David happens to be one of our elders here at Bethlehem, and Bonnie, as you have heard so lovely, plays and is part of our music program as well. And they have something to say about some gifts and maybe even how God has used these gifts in their lives today that maybe can be important for us. So I want to welcome you, David. Thank you for speaking for us first. You said beforehand that you're going to speak first, even though traditionally ladies go first. So we're going to say maybe the best for last. Maybe perhaps. We'll put it that way.
There you go. Good morning, everybody. I want to say thank you to Pastor, first of all, for asking us to share our testimony. It's an honor to be able to share this with all of you. Bonnie and I have been at Bethlehem for 32 years. And when we sat down and considered that, we figured, wow, that's a long time. Many of you know us rather well. Some of you are getting to know us, and we hope to get to know you. In the time that we've been here, I just want to share this with you about myself. I've served as a financial secretary, a Sunday school teacher, Sunday school superintendent, scripture reader. As Pastor said, right now I'm an elder, a strategic planner. I've been a youth group leader, a youth group teacher. I've served as an usher. I'm a board of director member at one time, small group leader right now, adult education leader. And I tell you this not this morning, not to boast, but about myself, but to boast in Christ, because he's given me gifts that I've uncovered and learned how to use in the kingdom. But it wasn't always that way. In the parable that Jesus told this morning, we heard this morning in the gospel lesson, in the book, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. John Ortberg uses that to teach us three principles about the master. And the first one is that he's the Lord of the gift. He's given each and every one of us a gift to use. Some of us more than others, but he's given everybody something to use in the kingdom. He's also the master is also the Lord of the settled account, meaning that he's coming back and he's going to ask of each and every one of us, what did you do with what I gave you? And more specifically, I believe he's going to ask, what did you do with my son? And then finally, Ortberg says, he's the Lord of the reward, meaning that the gifts and talents we've been given, if we use those in the kingdom here, the rewards are great here on earth, but they're even greater in heaven and in eternity with him. Great things are in store for us if we choose to get out of the boat and trust in him. If you listen to the message, the third reading, verse 25 said, so I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. The key word in that for me is being afraid, because as a cocaine addict, that I lived like that for 20 years in fear of every person, place, and thing that I came across in my life. I told you I wasn't always like this. I squandered so many things, money, opportunity, and tore down relationships at every corner of my life as a drug addict. To give you some perspective on who I was spending about $1,000 a week at the end of my run as a cocaine addict. That's a lot of money. I was a very sick man. And when I checked myself into rehab in 1996, right now I weigh 180 pounds. Back then, when I checked myself in, I weighed 130 pounds. The drugs and the alcohol had taken its toll in every area of my life. But God came to me then at that lowest point in my life and offered me a way out through the men and women who were recovering by working what are called the 12 steps. And they took me by the hand and they showed me a way to live without drugs and alcohol that I grasped onto finally. There wasn't a day I thought I could live without using. And I had to have the help of others, and certainly I had to have the help and the grace of God in my life. And so, in that first step of recovering, it's admitting and taking ownership of who I was. And then the subsequent steps are about finding God, trusting in his power, and then letting go of everything I know to allow him to change my life. The final steps in recovering helped me restore my relationship with others, my wife, my children, my coworkers, members here at Bethlehem, friends and other family. And it was during that working that part of the program that I learned how to serve. That had never been a part of who I was. I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know what that meant and how important it is. That's the only way that I remain clean and sober today is by serving, by helping others. It's life or death for me. And so in recovering, I've learned how to serve and take me out of myself and uncover the gifts that God has blessed me with. In closing, I'd like to say to you this morning that if you have a problem with drugs or alcohol or some addiction, or that maybe someone you love, a friend or family member, is struggling, I'm willing to talk to you and share with you my experience and the hope I have in Jesus Christ through working these steps, because I stay sober by giving it back. And in the same way, it parallels what I am as a Christian man today. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. He didn't say, take your salvation, sit down, glory in that, and love yourself. He said, go and make disciples. And so that's what I try to do today. I offer and invite you to do that. Thanks, Pastor, for letting me share.
You're welcome. I may add, too, you shared with me before that it was perhaps at one of your lowest moments that you decided to go for a walk one night. Very long way from your house to where we are now, but you ended up arriving at our church doors back here in the mid-90s during Pastor Schaefer's day, and it was striking because that was the one place that you were able to be helped is from the foot of the cross. But that is your story. Now, as we know, we don't always do things isolated. At home, you have a lovely wife, family, and she has some words to share of what was going on during that time. Thank you, Bonnie.
Hi, everybody. The tragedy of an unopened gift. I really wasn't sure what I was going to speak about today, because I really wasn't sure what my unopened gift was from God. When David came home one day and said, well, we're going to be speaking in front of church during one of the sermons, I'm like, you're going to be speaking in front of the sermon, and I'll stand by your side. But he said, no, that's not what we're doing. We're both going to be speaking about our unopened gift, a tragedy of an unopened gift. So here we go. I had no idea what I would say, so I listened to the video from If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. And within a minute, I knew what I would be speaking about, because I knew what our unopened gift was. It was like our purpose in life or our reason for being here. I had never thought of this as a gift. And when I tell you what it is, you'll say, how can this possibly be a gift? And I'll understand that. And some of you here may even have this same gift. So Our gift from God was that we couldn't have children. For whatever reason, we were not going to have a family, and that is one thing we wanted as a couple, was to have a family. And yes, this is an unusual gift that God gave us. We tried various procedures, actual fertility procedures. One of these procedures was referred to as the gamete intrafallopian transfer. That's where you take a sperm and an egg and insert it into the fallopian tube. It's also better known by the acronym GIFT. Remember that. It involved David giving me shots. It was very painful. It was long. There was a lot of uncertainty with it. There was trust that this would work. And in the end, there was disappointment because it didn't. It failed more than once. God kept saying, though, to us, that he has a different plan for us. And I have a different plan for someone else, too. Just remember, he's the Lord of the reward. And we kept seeking. Had we settled for this fact that we could not have children and that we would not be a full family as we wanted, had we not stepped out of our boat, had we not unwrapped this gift, it truly would have been a tragedy for us. So we listened to God. We opened our gift from him, and we sought adoption. Yes, there was fear. Believe me, there was fear. But God was with us always. Now, as you know, or maybe you don't realize, there are many different adoption agencies, or back then there were many different adoption agencies out there. You could do a local adoption, foreign adoption, international adoption. We finally decided to seek a lawyer, a specific adoption lawyer. And surprisingly, during this time, we were accepted through all the interviews that we had to go through. And within a few short months, we received a phone call from her and said, "I have a brother and a sister. They're 5, and she's about to be 3 years old. She's not 3 yet. Would you like to meet them?" Well, of course, yes, we'd love to meet them. So we were to meet her. She was going to pick them up. She was going to meet us at a mall, and we would take them to dinner, play like a Chuck E. Cheese type place, play some games with them. We were so excited. We were so nervous, scared, and we took gifts. Was this God's plan for us? Was this his gift for us? And one short month later, we were a family. God had allowed us to give our children the best gift ever. A family with a mom and a dad, tons of relatives. We became a family, and our prayer was finally answered. I recall my daughter, the very first day she was in her house, she asked me, "Well, what do I call you?" I said, "Mom, call me Mom, call me Mommy." We brought them here to Bethlehem to learn about Jesus and to meet our church family. And some of you may even recall, you may have been here then. I think some of you were back here back then. Our daughter attended our preschool for a couple of years. And our son loved to sing songs, loved to sit in the pews and sing the songs. In fact, he's even sang with Crossroad. And we'd love to have him back one of these days. I remember sitting in the pew, Pastor Schaefer had just sat us down to settle for the sermon, and he starts out and says, "Is there anything God can't do?" And little Travis says, "No." And nobody else answered him, but our 8-year-old son answered him. We were so proud. We had lots to learn as parents. We didn't have the opportunity to begin as infancy and learn how to become parents. We did not have that The children had a lot to learn. They had brand new mom and dad. We had a lot of change in our house, a lot of things going on, lots of learning. They had a new mom and dad. They had new cousins, new aunts and uncles, new grandparents. And 1 year later, our adoption was final. And our lives as a family continued to grow into what it is today. Our son, Travis, will be 34 this year. He's an English teacher at the Milwaukee High School of the Arts, planning his wedding for early next year. Our daughter, Stephanie, will be 32 this year. She has her doctorate in physical therapy, and she has given us our first grandchild, a grandson, Reese William. Had we not opened his gift, thank you, Jesus.
And thank you for your vulnerability. Sometimes it's a little scarier up here, but the gift that you guys have is life and forgiveness, and that is the same gift that you all have in our Lord Jesus. So thank you for coming up. We have some various other great speakers in the next few weeks to come, but you guys are special, and you are in Christ. So can I pray for us all? Heavenly Father, we thank you for opening up our lives to see how you are actively involved, and you place gifts, both big and small, along the way. Help us to be vulnerable so that we are driven to the point where we can finally see and hear you and what you have for us. Help us open the gift once more today. In Jesus we pray.